This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. Some very interesting things going on in the world. Good morning to the judge of the prisms, Sia Sangweni. How many years in a row has it been? I mean, he's dressed up for the... Wow, you dress up again today? Are you doing them again today, or are you going with me to that launch? Is that why you dressed up? Oh, you've got a waistcoat on. You look very good, Sia. You really do. Wow. You look like you should be in charge of this place. I'm going to hand over to you.
Sia's shoes are so shiny. My life looked...
Your life looked?
My life, the outlook of my life looks brighter now because of Sia's shoes.
Let me see those. Hang on. Oh, wow. All right.
Oh, wow.
Patent leather. Why is your microphone not working? Are you using mic 4?
Why aren't your shoes tied?
Hang on. Let me see. No, mic 4's a fuck up. No, this one. So swap. Oh, my God. Do you hear all of that? That's so professional. Okay.
Good. Is our technical team also load shed?
No, you know what's happening. Humans? No, I mean, Greg, who usually knows how to handle these things, he's on paternity leave.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, Gareth, I think you pay a hefty fee for the stuff to work in a place that...
Yeah, I do. And we have asked people to come and look at it. There's something mysterious about this microphone which we can't work out. And these things do happen.
Sure.
From time to time. Even scientists can be baffled by certain things. I had these two fascinating girls in here yesterday. I don't know if it's even... Can you call them girls? I mean, you're allowed to do that? Because they can say girl power. But these two women who are scientists, the one is a mechanical engineer, the other one is a nuclear physicist. They're both supremely impressive. And they were saying to me that sometimes the equipment they set up in these big laboratories, this one girl has like a 10-meter-long pipe that she has in her lab that she's measuring with thermocouples. I mean, you can listen to the podcast. I tried my best to stay up there where they were, you know, discussing the basic stuff around their master's and doctoral theses. And the one girl is a doctor. And she was looking at me like, you know when someone looks at you like, shame, this guy's trying really hard to understand, but he's a complete fucking moron. And the same goes for this microphone. Like, I've had two or three people come in to see it, and it seems like there's some kind of electrical interference somewhere along the cable, and we can't find where it is.
We actually should have had those ladies.
Yeah, we should ask them. Yeah, I mean, they probably would have figured out in 2 seconds. But it was so funny. So yesterday, you were here for the beginnings, and then you had to rush off to your event. But these two, I kept them here for the entire hour. We talked about the one girl was explaining to me how, and this has always bugged me. Maybe bothers you too on some level. You know how an atom looks, right? You've got the nucleus and you've got the electrons that go around the outside.
For the sake of time, let's go with yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
opening sequence of the Big Bang Theory, I think it's an atom, isn't there?
Okay, so an atom is basically, like, imagine the sun is our nucleus of our universe, our galaxy,
yeah.
Right?
Okay, the blue ball.
The sun. The sun.
No, but like, isn't the makeshift model of an atom?
Let's go with it. So the middle of our galaxy is the sun. Everything spins around the sun, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now let's imagine that all the planets are electrons.
Okay.
Okay.
The rings.
Yeah, Mercury and Venus, let's imagine that they're in one orbit and in one cloud. Those are the inner electrons. So if we were helium, our galaxy would stop there. Would be Venus, Mercury, and the sun. The sun would have in its nucleus, two protons and two neutrons. Neutrons don't have a charge. Protons have a positive charge. Now, here's the thing that I tried to get her to explain to me, and she helped me a lot because I've never really understood this. How does the nucleus hold together if they're positively charged things and they're all around each other? Don't they repel? Have you ever pushed two positive poles of a magnet together?
Oh, there's a force.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So she was explaining to me how that works, and you can listen to that in the podcast yesterday if you care.
So that was almost like your perfect date then, Gareth.
It was really good. It was just superb. I mean, she's married, but I do love that. I'm not turned on by it like some people. They're these people called sapiosexuals. It's a real thing. It's like you get people who are into leather and S&M and all that stuff. You get people who are into food involved in their relationship with each other. You get sapiosexuals, apparently. I don't know about this.
Well, it is a thing.
Yeah, they're turned on by brains.
Intelligence and the human mind to be the most sexually attractive feature for a potential sexual relationship.
Yeah, I'm not that. Because I've really dated some very stupid people. And I'm proud of that. And I love it. I mean, they've been attractive to me purely physically.
What do you mean you're proud of it?
Well, because I wasn't looking for...
It's called your 20s, yeah? You're currently there.
Yeah, but I wasn't looking for someone to challenge me. You know, you hear these people, they say, no, what you need in life is more challenge. I'm not into that. I don't think struggling is noble. And in a relationship, if it isn't... This is how I am, and by no means is this the way everyone should be. If a relationship turns to work and struggle and compromise, I'm out.
Okay.
Just don't need it. I'm functioning at 90% anyway. Very happy. I can be on my own a lot. So if you're not going to... I mean, that 10% is really going to be golden.
Know what I mean? Now I'm wondering, do your exes know that they were the dumb ones in the equation?
Of course they do.
No, because I mixed them up. It's like a deck
Gareth
of cards. Gareth
told them on the way out.
No, I would never do that.
You leave.
I shuffled them like a deck of cards and I said...
Yes, you're stupid.
It wasn't you. It was this one. And no, they wouldn't know. And plus, the ones who were stupid is such... They were lovely people in other ways. So and by stupid, I just mean we didn't have... conversations like we have on the show here every morning.
Okay, you know, not like they have a bag of hair up in there.
No, I mean, a lot of these people, they're not mouth breathing, low functioning, you know,
missing a chromosome.
Yeah, no, they're not those people. And by the way, that's very offensive, Sia.
Oh,
yes, yeah, you always take the next level, don't you?
Some people might be missing a chromosome.
You there with discriminating with your three buttons undone in your chest. Mm-hmm. Just.
I actually just realized I haven't graced you all with some of my chest recently, so I think...
Heavage.
Yeah.
You make it sound like it's something we want.
So yesterday, did anyone listen to the first of our new podcast, Blind History?
Gareth, I did.
Oh, good. What did you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought it had nice flow. It was informative and it was engaging. And I look forward to the next episode.
Any tips, Ben? Anything we could do better?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, like I was exercising. I was listening to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What exercising are we doing? What were you up to there?
Yesterday I was just doing push-ups and tricep dips.
Oh, okay.
As well as working on my mobility, because that's how boring my life is. I have to work on stretchments and movements. No. Or maybe that's just what we should all be doing.
Otherwise they'll start walking crooked again.
Exactly. See, I've got to keep fighting that. It's like this... It's like this dark shadow that follows me around is this impending back spasm / crippleness.
Yes.
So every day I've got to fight it with downward dogs and upward cobras and...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ben.
Baby
keep the good
poses.
Fight alive.
I'm sorry.
Downward cat. And I just go into a trance nowadays and I'm just stretching and moving.
Oh, shame.
It's okay, though. Oh. Because, you know, life isn't always meant to be fun.
Can we talk about Batabile Dlamini?
Is she... we haven't heard from her in a while, which obviously is a good thing.
Yeah, of course.
But is that because she's just been really pushed to the sidelines that even the ANC find that she's inept?
Look, I don't know, but she was at the State of the Nation.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really spoke about this.
No, I've got to play moment. It for you because otherwise you won't believe me. But this was on SABC News. You know, they treat it like it's a pageant. And this is why I hate the State of the Nation, and I didn't watch the whole thing the other day. And I won't. I won't. I'm not into this.
Poor people of Cape Town being held ransom over that day with traffic and all kinds
of
things.
And then Batabile Dlamini pitches up in this, it's a fucking hideous dress. And she's there, and they, you know, they ask, who are you wearing? And now she's trying to, this is so typical of politicians. She's trying to sound like she supports some small business, and maybe she does. I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, I imagine she just picked this up at the flea market for it was like fourth-hand clothing. She got it for a couple of rand. She probably didn't even go. Someone measured her up and then went and got it for her.
Mm.
She sent like a proxy.
It arrived with her boots for the week.
Yeah, it's probably in a crate from Basasa.
It arrived in the same crate of...
Yeah, it's like she gets a weekly crate from Basasa delivered to her house. Anyway, so...
And then you said, I'm the mean one?
Yeah, no, but listen, I'm trying to be... trust me, I'm holding back. This is Batabile Dlamini. This is the woman who almost plunged already poverty-stricken South Africans into further poverty for 2 years running. So let's not give her a pass.
I didn't even know she had a daughter.
I don't know if that was her daughter. I think it might have been Miss Olifant, her spokesperson in the video.
Oh, Karen Moore's friend.
Remember the one who, yeah, she's like her Lumka. Her minion? Lumka Olifant. She's like her minion. She kind of, I suppose she's been given the god-awful task of spending her life cleaning up after Batabile Dlamini.
Literally.
Yeah, so.
Alcohol makes you puke.
So here's Batabile, this old gogo's there. She's wearing this dress and she's completely out of it. She's just... It's almost like someone smashed her head with a club and then sent her straight to the State of the Nation. And then she's being interviewed. She's confused. And you could tell she doesn't remember the name because she actually doesn't know where she got this dress. She didn't buy it. She sent someone out to do it. You know how these ministers are. They're out of touch with reality. But she wants to sound like she supports a small business. Now, this is your opportunity. If you are going to wear someone's thing, you just have to remember their name. Because people can Google them, people can find them on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they can go and buy their stuff. And by the way, while this dress is hideous, I don't know these people, and they might make other clothes that are nice. But I mean, if you dress Batabile, there's only so much you can do. And here she is. Just listen to this. I'm going to say no more. You decide.
Who made this? It was made by two young women. They have their home sewing place, or they are seamstresses, and you just buy the material, or they buy the material for you. And
and who are they, Melis?
I mean, that's a simple question, right? Like, here's your chance to plug.
It is so simple.
Small business,
as you said, their name or the name of the business, or the name of their brand.
Okay, but wait now. Instead of saying their name, because she clearly, like, she's in a drunken stupor, so she can't remember. Mm. So what she does is she starts taking credit for government. She's like, oh, I'm going to make this all about how government helps people. All right, listen.
They, at some stage, they were assisted by government when they were still growing. But now I think they are self-sufficient. But also I got them from other ministers because there are ministers that are also they depend on them.
I don't even know what that means.
I really...
Like, you've got to be so drunk.
This was the point in the interview where I felt drunk. Like I was completely lost. I was trying to understand what she's saying.
Okay, so first thing she's trying to get across. There are three things she's trying to achieve here. Number one, she wants to seem like she supports local business, but she can't even remember who the local business is. Mm-hmm. So there's no way she can support them. This is, by the way, there are still people who watch SABC, believe it or not. So there's an opportunity there for you to plug these guys. Give these two seamstresses a plug, you know? And you wearing their dress, the only thing you need to know. State of the Nation, she's not making a speech. She's literally walking in, sitting down, falling asleep, and walking out again. All she has to remember is the name of the people who made her fucking dress, because this is the only time people are ever going to ask her, what are you wearing? Because the rest of the time, we're lucky if we encounter her in clothes, because she's probably drunk. You know what I mean? So remember that. Number two, she's trying to achieve. So she doesn't achieve number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, she's trying to give government a plug. That much she gets right, but of course it sounds so vague that we have no idea whether she's telling the truth or not. She's like, well, at one stage they received government support. We don't know what that means. Does that mean, like, from the state capture people? Did she also get a Basasa? Did these seamstresses also get a Basasa crate? Or do ministers individually, among themselves, like, support this seamstress or her sister or the both of them or, the, you know, whoever they are? I mean, it's so nebulous. It'd be like describing how the nucleus holds together in this case. And then the third thing she's trying to achieve is that she wants to give other ministers credit for, because this is her circle. She doesn't know people outside of government because this is her whole life. She wears what, you know, because they all get together at cabinet meetings. And I don't think she's like talking about She's the Women's League chairperson right now.
And Minister of Women.
So she's not sitting in cabinet going, you know, what we can do for women is X, Y, Z. We've got major problems with violence against women. These are my plans. She's sitting there going, where do you guys get your dresses? This is her thing. So in one short 20-second clip, you get to hear Batabile Dlamini just out of her mind. That brain's so atrophied, it's just unbelievable.
Like, in her defense, we've all done the car bar before.
Yeah, but not at...
But this
so
is,
early?
This maybe isn't a good time to do it, seeing as you're there because of...
So early?
And not over and over again. See, like, I have no sympathy for her and similar people in her situation, because you realize that you do something, the country goes after you, and you don't rectify it. So this is simple. She didn't have to do interviews. She could have just walked and waved and smiled go inside.
The other funny thing about it is, whether it's her daughter or it's Lumka, I'm not sure, who's standing with her, as soon as she starts talking, this person just hightails it the hell out of there.
Because she knows what's good for her.
Even if my job is to look after this Gogo, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to be a meme.
I'm out of here.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
And they were wearing matching dresses, by the way. That whole rose thing.
So the poor young girl, she probably like, I don't want to wear this. I feel like a grandma.
It's so 1985.
It's bad, eh?
It's really very bad.
Anyway. All right. So I thought I'd play that for you just to make you smile this morning. There's plenty of other good stuff to talk about, and we've got to get into some of that later. Later on, we'll also be joined by... you know, we've been speaking to Christo from Coronation for the last couple of weeks. Today's the last major opportunity for us to hear from him about how you can invest and basically save yourself some tax, which is never a bad thing.
You can invest, 33,000 Rand a year up to?
Yes, for 15 years. I'm not sure, but Christo will help us figure
it
out.
You get like an allocation, basically. Correct. And they guide you through the allocation of what is tax-free investment.
And the reason you want to do that is because instead of giving that money straight to SARS, you can actually put it into your own account and save it.
Because it is your money.
Well, you know what, Ben? That's a very revolutionary thought, but yes.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Gareth. That's what I'm here for.
I spoke to Sia this week about tax, and I've never seen anyone look so miserable about things. And Sia's very happy. He's a very upbeat kind of guy. I said to him, so, Sia, you realize that...
The first 4 months of the year...
You work for government.
And what did government give you?
Fuck. I'm still not over that conversation.
Even more anxiety.
I really am not.
Even more anxiety.
I'm just minding my own business, trying to make... great financial decisions as a young person in this country, and then you let it sink in that for 4 out of the 12 months of the year, you're essentially just giving your money to government. Yay!
Let me turn your attention to more interesting things, because I don't want to turn every morning into an opportunity to complain about government. I don't want them to become a central focal point in my life, and I'm sure you don't either. So as much as we want to cover current affairs, and we'll get to the news, and we do the five things, and, you know, we want to be relevant, but I don't know that government is that relevant in your life, and I don't want to turn all of what we talk about into a conversation around how dumb government are. And I feel
I agree,
the last couple of weeks, that's what we've been doing.
Because then it starts sounding like we are the DA. We've got to look at how we're going to progress this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so let's not talk about load shedding. Let's not talk about how all of the traffic lights are out in Joburg.
Oh, my God.
Let's not talk
about it. I know, but I was monitoring traffic on, like, vicariously, because I got home yesterday quite early for a change. Oh, was I relieved. When I heard what people were going through with all the traffic lights out and blockages here and blockages there, and it was raining, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Did I feel terrible for people stuck in traffic? It was awful. But I had to like get some Schadenfreude in and hop onto, you know, social media and see what people were dealing with. Oh, wow.
I know some, unlike Joburg.
I know some calm, well-balanced people who were just losing their shit yesterday. Mm. Unbelievable. By the way, the reason I brought up the Alexander the Great podcast, the first in our Blind History series with Taylor Blinds and Shutters, is because a friend of mine messaged me I always think it's nice to update these things. And we were talking about how Alexander died, and some people suspect he was poisoned. Some people say he just drank himself to death because he went on a massive, massive binge and was basically drunk for 4 solid days, but well, heavily drunk.
I mean, he toured like a cricketer, Gareth.
Yeah, correct.
We all know that cricketers drink heavily too.
And like cricketers, they're all trying to prove that they're alpha males. Yes. And, you know, Alexander was the alpha of alpha males.
Always in the fines meeting was Alexander the Great.
Right.
He was doing bum funnels with
big time.
The Persians. I mean, it was immense.
I mean, basically, if handfuls of pills existed in those days, he'd be doing...
He was a proper bugger.
All of them. Sure. So, and that's funny because he was that too. So a friend of mine said he was listening to the podcast on Alexander, and people, especially in medicine now, they've been doing some research around the symptoms that they recorded for him towards the end. Apparently he was suffering from, potentially, something like Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is why he's said not to have decomposed for a few days. Apparently he was still alive but completely paralyzed, and they thought he was dead, so they just stopped feeding him. So effectively he starved to death.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that horrible? I didn't know that you could die of this.
Wow.
Gila?
It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Guillain-Barré. And apparently what happens is he's alive, but he looks dead. And in those days, they didn't have a way to measure.
That is so freaky.
So you're paralyzed.
They don't really...
You can't move. And they're like... Well, he must be dead.
And they never really took breath as an important metric. And
you know, in those days, they were also worried. Like, they didn't understand. Everything was mysterious and, you know, God was punishing you for something, or you were dead, but you were still warm because you were a god. You know what they thought? They were messed up. Plus, people were probably filing past the body for like 3 or 4 days. So he was lying there, and he was probably eventually conscious, but he was paralyzed. So he couldn't move his eyes, couldn't move anything. This is the supposition, of course. And he starved to death because they didn't feed him, obviously. How do you feed a paralyzed person?
Mm.
Isn't that terrible?
What Imagine a way dying to go.
That's awful. Maybe,
after this big life.
Maybe he died of dehydration. I mean, like, because generally it's the lack of water that kills you first.
And then they say that that's
go without food.
That's it. And that's why he didn't start decomposing, because he was effectively still alive. How gross is that?
And because he was so drunk... He was already kind of embalmed anyway, so.
Apparently, it's pronounced Guillain-Barré. Sorry.
Oh.
Wow, so
we were so fancy with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well,
how about I mean, that? Here, someone mispronounced something.
But it looks like French, so I mean, forgive me on that front. I'm not gonna take knocks on that.
Okay, that is a moment. Can we cut that out? Let's just listen to it.
Yeah. That's two days in a row you've had a bit of a struggle with the French word.
Gareth, are you not perfect?
I'm definitely not perfect. Would you only figured that out now?
Software upgrade.
A revelation we've just discovered.
All right, so I just thought I'd throw that in. It is 6:30. Do you want to find out what's going on in the 5 things you need to know this morning?
All right, let's go.
All right, why are you so trepidatious?
Yeah, because in South Africa, our land, you always have to be.
In South Africa, our land.
Yeah, you always have to be.
Was Alexandra here in Johannesburg inspired by Alexander the Great?
No, this is Alexandra Township. I think it's named after someone else, but it's certainly, I don't think the two given much inspiration to each other or are linked in any way. The EFF has given the new Tshwane mayor 3 months to prove himself. You see how these guys are holding everyone? This is very clever. They are good politicians, which means they're bad people. But good politicians, because they are holding everybody's feet to the fire. The ANC are getting their policy dictated to them by the EFF, because the ANC are terrified about being supplanted on the left. So they'll be as extreme as the EFF want them to be, and the EFF don't even have to be in government to get what they want. It's very clever. Now they're doing the same with the DA. They're saying, well, you know, we're in that coalition in Tshwane, like we were in coalition in PE, and I don't know why the DA trusts them. Yeah, I mean, the DA shouldn't trust them, because you saw what happened to Trollope in PE. The guy was trying to run the place, and then the EFF banded together with the ANC, and they ousted him. And it was just so cynical because it was all about political power. The EFF didn't really gain much from it. And the ANC were just being very calculating and self-serving. But the same thing could be happening in Tswane because...
But what happened to Solly? He was doing a good job, wasn't he?
Well, he's moved into the... You see, this is the point. The DA is so thin on talent that Solly, who's actually probably one of three people in the DA who I would trust with anything right now.
Yeah, there's him, there's Steenhuisen, and...
I would say... Herman Mashaba.
Gwen, you left.
Gwen's gone. Now, I'd say Herman Mashaba.
You wouldn't trust Herman Mashaba, Ben?
No, I would actually. Herman's got some balls. Okay, I'll take that. And he understands cleanliness and basic things.
What's happened in Tswane is that Solly has left to take up a seat in the provincial legislature because he's going to be running against David Makura for premier of Gauteng in these provincial elections.
Ah, very good. Okay, then I'll vote DA.
Okay.
I like Solly.
All right. Well, you like him that much. You've already decided.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he was here and he had like something about it.
Okay. The EFF in Tswane have said that the newly elected mayor, Stevens Mokgalapa, has got 3 months to prove himself. He was elected unopposed by Tswane Council on Tuesday. That's at least good news, unopposed. The EFF said little was known about the new mayor and the party would therefore give him time and space to tackle his new mandate. The party warned if he failed to deliver services, he would have to look for another job. But you see how they basically have put themselves in the role of being, you know, we're really in charge here behind the scenes. It's clever. It's very good politicking. So that's the EFF's move at the moment. Fourth quarter unemployment has dropped slightly to 27.1%. This is very, very good news, even though it's a tiny, tiny drop in the ocean. Let's not think that this is a sign that government are getting anything right. Unemployment, of course, is usually the private sector doing something right. And government leaving them alone. The unemployment rate has dropped slightly to 27.1% for the fourth quarter. Stats SA says this means 6.1 million people are now without work, down from 6.2 million. So somehow 100,000 people have found work in the gap between the third quarter of last year and the first quarter of this one.
Is that not just for security for Sona?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, that'll fall away in this next quarter.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, with all these load shedding situations, I mean, if you run a business that has to keep stuff fresh, or let's say you've got electrical equipment and you've got stuff that needs to be on the whole time, maybe you've got servers, whatever it might be, you are not going to be in business for very long if this load shedding stage 3 and 4 continues. It's going to screw you up. Anyway, the expanded definition of unemployment, which includes people who have stopped looking for work. I mean, imagine how desperate you have to be to actually go, look, I've tried, but I cannot. I've actually stopped looking for work. There's nothing. I can't find meaningful, gainful employment for myself.
Hmm. To which I've got to sound like a dick and say that's bullshit. Everywhere in life, throughout history, there's been tough times and things and adversity. You have to always find a way. It's like a little tortoise on a beach. Oh, there's too many seagulls. I'm just going to lie on my back. What's that going to do?
Well, and that's Uncle Ben.
Yeah, well, yeah, Ben, you raise a good point.
There's just so many excuses. I know it's tough. I know life is shit. I know these people keep ruining our lives who meant to be actually creating the laws and processes. But, I mean, come on. Stop looking for work. What does that get you?
Well, look, for whatever reason, these people have given up. I mean, they might live in an area where there just aren't any jobs. In which case, I suppose the only answer, if you're going to be hardcore like Ben, is move. And
but unfortunately, there's no other option. I hate to break the most basic of truths to you, but like, what other options do you have?
No, sure. No, but a lot of people are also getting used to the fact that government is going to somehow come in and save them. Here's your tiny little piddly
much like Father Christmas grant. Isn't bringing you a bike on December the 25th. The ANC are not going to give you anything. They'll take stuff.
Right. You know what? I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't sound so morbid, but just...
I'm trying to find a good argument to have with you, because I like to argue with you, Ben, but there's nothing. I'm out of it. Okay, a mattress business in the south of Joburg has allegedly been using electricity for free since 2015 and racked up a bill of 20 million rand. This was one of the businesses the city of Joburg identified when it went on disconnecting spree on Tuesday.
How crazy.
So this is interesting. You see, this is why I like Herman Mashaba. He put on his...
Yes.
His shiny jacket that reflects a jacket.
I never really understand why he has to wear that.
Because then it's business time. Yeah. He's got that on. He's going to tear shit up.
Because, I mean, he will wear it in broad daylight.
Maybe he doesn't want to be hit by a car.
And the reflector you need to wear at night.
No, the reflector means like business.
So he went on a raid that was part of an operation called Buyamteto, looking for people who did not adhere to bylaws governing the use of water and electricity. So, I mean, you know, this is our biggest problem, right? Is that Eskom, if they were just paid by all the people who are using electricity, like Soweto owes something in the area of, I don't know, R1 billion. I mean, nobody's paying. But electricity keeps being considered a basic right in areas where, look, if you don't pay, you don't get. I'm sorry. This is how Eskom goes bankrupt. Nobody gets anything for free. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And the supposedly, in inverted commas, rich people who are going to pay for everybody else have run out of money too. So you have to pay if you want electricity. You want a cell phone? You want an oven or a stove? You want a fridge? You want a TV? You got to pay. Otherwise, do not complain when this goes off.
Yeah.
I don't like it any more than you do, but I have to pay. You know what happens to me if my bill isn't paid? They come and switch off my electricity.
Yep.
And I don't get any more until I've paid them. So I don't know how they can make two different sets of rules for people and say, oh, well, because you're poor, or because you didn't pay us and you can't pay us, we'll make that Ben's problem. I don't see how that's right. So they're going around and they're actually, in this case, finding money from businesses that haven't paid, which is inexplicable. I mean, if we don't pay our electricity, we also get cut off.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right? Ooh. Oh, see her, you're right.
Bless me.
And then this is interesting. I don't know if it's interesting. Maybe you like it. Dan Plato, the mayor of Cape Town, said he was disappointed when he found out that his officials did not act fast enough in returning the statue of former statesman Nelson Mandela to the Cape Town City Hall in time for the anniversary of his release from prison. He replied in a statement to the ANC in the Western Cape that it is important to address the matter. The statue, which stands on the balcony where Mandela gave his first speech after his release, was removed on Monday to accommodate a film shoot. It was then returned on Tuesday. So, what's the problem?
I really do feel like they don't have much to complain about.
Now, this sounds like a first world problem.
It really is. The statue was moved because they were filming something.
Yeah.
They just didn't bring it back in time by the 10th of Feb.
Yeah, not a story, right?
And now it even warrants a statement from the mayor.
Ugh, for God's sake. You have more important things to do, dude. Cape Town has got big problems.
Because Patricia DeLille has also come out and said it's absolutely disrespectful and horrible.
A quick correction. Apparently, Soweto doesn't owe R1 billion. It owes R15 billion. That is almost half the debt that Eskom have, or it's certainly a significant part of the debt. Then
isn't their debt more like R400 billion?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, these numbers are just so mind-boggling.
And this is a debt that goes up literally every second.
Mm-hmm. And so $15 billion is owed by just Soweto. So I'm sorry, Soweto. It's going to be dark until people pay.
And you think about it, they wouldn't be able to pay. If everyone started paying, they wouldn't even be able to pay the interest of that.
And so much of like that's the point I was trying to make. Every single second, someone is using electricity. And so the bill is just going up.
Mm. And then this is unbelievable. I don't know how this can happen. And I don't know what motivates people to behave like this. But three Northwest farmers and four farm workers appeared in court on Tuesday for kidnapping and killing a local man. Apparently, Northwest Police spokesperson Colonel Adele Myberg said the seven accused appeared in the Freiburg's Magistrates Court. Christa Skultz, Friedrich Theodorus Skultz, Moholo Katlejo, Tamene Poshijo, Daniel Tameng, and Mudiswatsile Lynx appeared. Apparently they killed a guy called Ben Molwele, who's 56 years old. The accused court appearance stemmed from an incident in which he went missing. Apparently, it's alleged the farmers were caught after he was caught. Were called after he was caught. He was apparently alleged to have stolen something following an intensive investigation, including a widespread search. His body was found at about 10 o'clock along the N18. So they tried to dispose of his body. I mean, why do you kill? So here's what I don't understand. What possesses people to kill a person, even if they've stolen something, I call the police, and I know our police are useless in this country. Call the police and get the guy locked up. And, you know, maybe, just maybe, because there isn't a law enforcement that's dependable in South Africa. A lot of people don't trust that. But you cannot kill somebody and then try to dispose of the body. I mean, these farmers and farm workers did this. They knew what they were doing. There must have been a point somewhere in what was going on where they stopped and looked at each other and went, fuck, guys, this is out of control, right?
This is maybe not a good idea.
Yo, some very, very sick people in this world. And I don't have a whole lot of sympathy, and I don't actually know what to say about that story. So we'll just watch it and see how it develops. But there we go. There's a couple of things that you need to know this morning. Let's turn our attention to Ben. By the way, Bitcoin's at $3,623 and Ethereum at $123. Ben, what do you have?
Well, Joe Root stands up for the gay community. Champions League sees Man United come back to earth, and Sergio Garcia says he's not a prick. Let's kick it off with the Champions League.
Okay.
It's back.
Right.
It comes and it goes. It's very much like that really cool relative that you just wish would stay forever, but only comes midweek here and there. Last night we had, PSG. They went to Man United. Of course, Man United, in their last 11 matches, they've won 10 and they've drawn 1. That's pretty good. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, put in the accents where you wish, he's had a good start. He's basically taken a whole bunch of players who hated Jose Mourinho and then reminded them that they actually like playing football, and henceforth the great result. But this has all been in England. It's kind of local.
Okay.
Paris Saint-Germain, it sounds as exotic as the name. They roll in there with the big stars like David Luiz and other people. And even though they didn't have Neymar, they won 2-0. Paul Pogba got sent off. The second yellow was a little bit dodgy. But anyway, it is a kind of a inevitable return back to earth for Solskjaer and Man United, who aren't the complete finished article. We all know this. It's pretty obvious that they're not. And Paris Saint-Germain, well, they're a side that's been building, whereas Man United is a side that's been stumbling. So, look, I still think Solskjaer should be given the job. I think he's got something out of this team. I think he's a lot of respect from the players. And this result is inevitable. It could have been them. It could have been Man City in the league, which is still going to happen. Trust me, Man City are going to absolutely trouser these guys quite soon.
Right.
So it's going to happen. But it's how this team builds forward. You can't just then say, well, you know, you had a bit of a shot, and then we're going to be really rough on like expectations around you. Give this guy a season. See where it goes. I mean, who have they had private?
You're basically David saying Moyes. What the EFF say about Knut Swanemeyer.
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
Give him a chance, but like a proper chance. I think he's done it right. I mean, after Alex Ferguson, they had David Moyes. Not that great. They had the guy who looks like Butthead. Dutch guy. Anyway. Then they had Jose. I mean, there were other people involved here. I mean, they had everyone basically except for Sam Allardyce, which I'm sure was coming there. So give Solskjaer a chance. The guy is growing with the job. And a result like this, well, let's not draw too much into it. Anyway, Paris Saint-Germain will be pretty stoked with us. We are in the knockout stages, of course, so now Man United will go to Paris, and that's where they'll end their Champions League for the season. Roma, they beat Porto 2-1. Hooray, Roma. So tonight, there is going to be more of the Champions League in the knockout stage. Ajax. Yeah, they're still here. Anyway, Ajax will be playing Real Madrid. That'll be tonight, South African time, 10 o'clock. And Spurs will be taking on Borussia Dortmund.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, this is also where Spurs exit the tournament. In other football news, there's been some shocking revelations. And you always hear this shocking, shocking links from one player to another club. But apparently Cristiano Ronaldo wants, desires, craves, seeks, use whatever word you want, the African superstar Mohamed Salah. Now, Juventus obviously were also in a shock revelation. They took on Ronaldo out of nowhere because he left Real Madrid for the Italian super club. So rumors are that, of course, they're just rumors at this stage, for about 3.1 billion rand in real money, that's 200 million euros, to lure Salah to Juventus. It'll be quite a thing. Salah, I think he's what? He's mid-20s. He's right. 26. His trajectory is a very good one. You know, he obviously had the stage where he was scoring goals, playing well for lower teams, got his chance at Liverpool, took it with both hands and both feet. And he did really, really well. And he's just going from strength to strength. Put him in a team with Ronaldo. And this is the smarts of Juventus, right? They took on a guy like Ronaldo. They found the money. They did the deal. They got him. Suddenly, everyone cares about Syria. Ah. Then.
Sorry.
Syria. Ah.
Syria. Ah.
No, I speak from authority here. My fiance is a Juventus fan, and she really broke this all down to me last night. Yeah, and then they go on this like charm offensive where they go to America. They've got this Netflix documentary. They've got like they're just smart. They just know what they're doing. Obviously, they're the best team in Italy, which doesn't mean a whole bunch because it's like kind of like the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich win, Juventus win, and sure there are some other teams, but their whole thing is about finally winning the Champions League. Come close, but never done it. And by building and getting bigger players, suddenly other big players want to go there, and before you know it, you've got a superstar team. That's how Real Madrid built it up. They weren't just rich from the start, and that is how football works. And that is why shit teams will stay shit teams, unfortunately. Huddersfield, shout out Huddersfield.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get good players because you can't get that first good player, so therefore you'll never get the second good player. So ultimately, that's why sport is the way it is. I think I've addressed football enough. Let's move on to cricket. Now, Joe Root, he did the right thing. He stood up for the homosexual community.
What was his previous position?
England captain. So, I mean, it's a massive step up. Huge step up.
Is he now a full-time activist for the LGBTQI community?
Gareth, he hasn't confirmed that.
Okay.
I think he's still going to try to be English captain. That's quite time-consuming. And right now, they're doing all right. They're bouncing back against the West Indies.
All right. But so why did he have to bring up the gays?
He didn't bring it up. Shannon Gabriel. Look at the irony here.
The Gabriel. Yeah.
Shannon Gabriel
basically said
something discriminatory and derogatory towards being gay.
Who's this?
Shannon Gabriel is a fast bowler, a big manly fast bowler called Shannon.
For England?
For West Indies. So he rolled in, obviously, bowled a ball to Joe Root, and then because Sledging's still alive and well, he said something in a derogatory sense. He probably said, you play that ball like a gay or something. We don't know, hasn't been confirmed, I'm filling the dots for you.
Sure.
To which Joe Root then just said, don't use that as an insult. There's nothing wrong with being gay.
Oh.
Good for you, Joe Root. The irony that some guy is being derogatory, but here he is running in with a girl's name, and his last name is Gabriel.
Well.
Dick. Anyway, so the ICC are actually going to charge Shannon Gabriel a misconduct charge.
So because sledging not allowed anymore?
Well, Gareth, you can say many things. You can say there's lots of ways to insult someone. If you grow up as a guy, you learn that from a young age. But why must you bring the gays into it? What have the gays done to Shannon Gabriel?
But I have no... There isn't a single thing I can think of that makes me want to discriminate in any real sense against any of my gay brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
But I do like to insult people because that's the way I connect. And as most guys know... The way that men express their love for their friends is by being as rude to them as possible.
Yeah.
And in sledging and cricket, this is what happens. It's actively insulting. It's part of the skill of the game, in fact. Are we gonna have to stop this?
No, but just be smarter. Don't be Shannon Gabriel. I mean, Joe Root, you can run in there, beat the bat, and say, not bad for someone who looks like Ellen DeGeneres, okay? Because he looks like Ellen DeGeneres. Ooh, there's a sledge.
But someone will say, that's also an anti-lesbian. Not. No, they will. Because you see, Ben, it's so subjective.
Yes, it's a good point. But it's an improvement from where he is. Anyway, Joe Root stood up for it. And he's a hero now. And finally, this test match has got the fitting end of all that it is. England get thrashed. The West Indian captain gets penalised for a slow over rate, despite the fact the game finishes 2 days early. And now, the cherry on the top here, England bounce back and Joe Root is a hero for the LGBTQ community. This is what sport just continues to do for me. It keeps surprising and charming. It really does. Don't you sigh, Gareth. Sport's the greatest thing in the entire world. Faf du Plessis says that he would really love the luxury of 4 pace bowlers and a spinner at home. Faf, I'm going to say easy. We need to really work on this South African unit to become a better batting unit. Like, really drive home big scores and take the game with the bat. If you can't get it done with 4 bowlers, seriously, yes, mate, get the fitness up, get the penetration up. This isn't me just being horrible. I mean, just come on. So he wants the 4 seamers and Maharaj to play. They are, of course, taking on Sri Lanka today in Durban. So if there is lots of load shedding, Durban people, fear not. You can go watch cricket at the Kingsmead. I think it's still called Kingsmead. Sure, go ahead and watch it.
Doesn't have one of those ridiculous sponsors like Purple Rocket Rain.
The waste, management stadium.
It might be. I mean, I think a lot of them used to be Sahara, because the Guptas used to sponsor that quite a lot. They used to be the Sahara Kingsmead or Sahara Newlands or whatever. Ben, no, just go Kingsmead.
Ben, do you feel like the Guptas ruined your sporting memories now that they're affiliated with so much?
Not really, because they were only affiliated with, like, they were like half in, half out of cricket.
They had quite a lot to do. Am I wrong with the IPL in the beginning? They might have sponsored some teams. Okay.
No, well, they never sponsored. Look, they, out of nowhere, got this team for the new age. And they were like, anyway, different story, different day.
Okay.
So anyway, Test cricket, SA versus Sri Lanka. They are absolutely going to thrash them. Sri Lanka are in crisis right now. They really are. We addressed this last week. And here you've got a SA team with just talent to burn. There really is. Vijay Mulder might be playing as well. They've just got lots of good players. And they just obviously had a very good season against Pakistan in the Test front. So look for one-way traffic here, which is really cool. I just hope none of the players get injured. And maybe they can also just try some one-day kind of stuff because they're so far ahead. I know that sounds way overconfident, but hey, that's where we are. Now, Sergio Garcia, as you know, probably the biggest prick in world golf. And that is saying something.
You've been laying it on thick with him because he's disappointed you horribly, Ben. You know, golf's a gentlemanly sport, and this guy's been behaving exactly the opposite way, right?
Well, it is, Gareth. And like I said, you know, he's probably the... It's hard to say because, I mean, you've got guys like Bubba Watson still in the sport, but I think Sergio probably is the biggest prick in golf. And golf is such a great game. You get to go to amazing places. You always dress semi kind of smart. It's a game of skill, honesty. There's so many good things about golf, okay?
Right.
And yes, I know there's a pressure cooker environment and you've got expectations and all these different things. And it's sport ultimately for high-stake emotions and moments. But you don't have to act like a child. You really, really just never want to. So Sergio's like, I want to say again, I'm sorry to my fans and fellow competitors. Well, Sergio, you don't really have too many fans, let's be honest.
That's how he speaks.
If it wasn't for the Ryder Cup, people wouldn't give a toss about you. I'm sorry. But because you're in the Ryder Cup, you get blanketed with all this goodwill. But ultimately, you are a prick. He says, what happened is not an example I want to set. It's not who I truly am. Okay, so let's just run through this quickly. This guy once spat into a hole. A hole which everyone takes a ball out of. This guy spat into it, okay?
That's not who he truly is.
He once his foot slipped. He took off his shoe and threw it into the crowd because obviously it's the shoe's fault that he can't get his weight transferred just right. This guy has done all kinds of things. We've been in this so many different times. And here he is at the age of 39 where he should know better saying, this is not who I am. Yes, it is. If it sounds like a prick, it looks like a prick, and it acts like a prick, it's Sergio Garcia. If you're not fooling anyone, Sergio... Just go back to I don't know. Just be there.
Okay.
Damn it. Lots of good, really, really nice golfers, however, and they'll be taking part in the Genesis Open this weekend in America at the Riviera Country Club. It's one of those great sort of old, long-running tournaments on the USPGA Tour. And that'll be something to really watch out for. But we'll get more into the weekend sport as we get closer to it on the Friday. And, of course, Super Rugby starts. Yeah. See us so excited about that.
All right.
Yay.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much, Ben. Okay. Let's turn our attention to Sia. And what have you got for us in Said by Sia this morning?
Public service announcement. It's not all that bad.
What isn't?
End is not nigh. The world is literally a greener place than it was 20 years ago. And the data from new NASA satellites have revealed that actually it's all thanks to China and India, largely.
Yes.
So this surprising new information shows that the two emerging countries with the world's biggest populations are the ones who are leading the improvement in greening on land. So the effect stems mainly from, you know, China and India collectively have had these big campaigns around planting trees and being environmentally friendly. Like in China, they had tree planting programs, and in India, they actually broke their own world record in 2017 for the most trees planted after volunteers gathered to plant 66 million saplings in just 12 hours. So this green phenomenon really was first detected by researchers using these NASA satellites as early as in the 1990s. And NASA year by year has been monitoring this growth using something called the MODIS, the Moderate Resolution Imaging Spectroradiometer. My Good goodness, Lord. It's a mouthful, isn't it? Sure. And this MODIS is quite specific in what it looks at. It can look at the world as a whole. It can look down to the level of 500 meters or up to 1,600 feet on the ground. So really has a lot of information that it takes into consideration. But all in all, they're now able to say that China and India account for a third of the greening on the globe, but they actually only contain 9% of the planet's land area covered in vegetation, which is a surprising finding considering the general notion of land degradation in populous countries from over exploitation. So I think we should be collectively saying thank you to China and India. And just one big sigh of relief, folks. It's not all that bad.
That's great. And when you do that sigh of relief, you're breathing in some of the oxygen that the newly forested areas provided for us. Because, you know, all these plants are producing oxygen for you and for me and the entire human race.
Because they are people dying. Let's, if you care enough,
you see
that's the sit.
There we go. So, yeah, I'm just going to cut him off.
Thanks.
If you don't behave, I will switch off your mic.
It's even worse when he dresses up like this. He feels more of a stage to kind of spew forth.
Darling, you should be grateful I'm not wearing my bedazzled tie.
Man. All right.
Okay.
I had a whole list of things which we will tackle after 7 o'clock this morning. But for now, take a big deep breath of that new oxygenated air from all the forested areas that Sia told us about. And let's get your morning off to a good start, especially if you only have just hopped in the car now and you're annoyed because of traffic and there's stuff you can't control. You just gotta be at peace with it because otherwise it'll drive you crazy. I see there are huge traffic problems all over the place, mostly because of load shedding. It's not your fault. It's you can't be blamed for this, and there's nothing you can do about it. So if you're stuck in the traffic, just enjoy. We'll keep you company. We'll give you a reason to smile, give you a reason to laugh. Give you a reason to feel something. All you do is focus on calming yourself down.
Ooh, sir.
Big deep breaths, count to 10. Imagine the person in the car in front of you who you hate because they're in front of you and traffic's moving slowly is someone who has something amazing to do today. And if you just forgive them for being in front of you in the traffic and all the other cars, and we all get on with it and do something positive, the whole world will get better. Let's just do that rather than get cross. Okay? How about that?
This is CliffCentral.com.